A very good evening to all the Eagle FM listeners. Welcome to another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. As always, I am your host, Hende, for the evening. As we said, we are tuning into the Eagle Sports Zone. That's Eagle FM's in-house sporting program where we discuss all things sports. We, of course, cover the local sports news, international sports news, but we like to dive in to all the things behind the scenes that make what we see on the field, on the court, in the pool, in the ring, whatever it is, your choice of sport, everything that makes that happen, we like to discuss here on the Eagle Sports Zone. So that goes for everything from your sports development, sports infrastructure, sports marketing, sports governance, sports sociology, psychology, all those fun topics. We like to discuss them here. And on today's episode, we are going to discuss sports apparel, the role that sports apparel plays in our favorite conversation, which is the commercialization of sports. But before we get into that, we'll cover some local sports news. And before we cover the local sports news, you are tuned into your number one talk radio station. And if you haven't already, download the Eagle FM mobile application so you can catch your favorite Eagle FM programs on the go at your convenience. Whether you're at the gym, whether you're going on a walk, whether you're going to the store, you're doing laundry at home, you're in a meeting maybe that you're not so interested in, you can listen to Eagle FM via the free to download mobile application. Simply type in Eagle FM Namibia on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store, and you'll have access to your favorite radio station. Another way you can listen to Eagle FM programming is via the website, which is www.eaglefm.com.na. You can access that on your laptop, on your mobile device, on your iPad, on your tablet. Wherever it is you browse the internet, you'll be able to listen to Eagle FM programming. And if you missed one of your favorite programs during the week, or maybe even just the Eagle Sports Zone last week, fear not, there is a solution for you. Simply go to the podcast section and type in the show that you're looking for, whether that's Mind the Gap, whether that's Izuma Salicho, whether that's the Home Run, whether that's the Business Economic Segment, whether that's Unpacking the Day, Unkundana Dingi, all the shows that we have available for you. If it was broadcasted live, it is in the podcast section available on the Eagle FM website and the Eagle FM mobile application. And don't forget, this means you can listen to Eagle FM wherever you are in the entire world. I know we have people listening from all corners of the earth. So welcome. Welcome to the Eagle Sports Zone. And don't forget, tomorrow is Monday. That means that the Villager e-paper will be published. If you haven't already, send your WhatsApp number and your email address in a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the number as a contact, so every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning, you will receive the Villager DMs directly to you, bright and early, right before you wake up. And as I said, if you'd like to receive it via email, include the email as well. And if you haven't already, there is the Imba mobile application for you to download that has all the hymns that you can think of right in the palm of your hands. Free to download as well on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Whether you're going to church, going to a baptism, a wedding, a funeral, any event where you will be singing hymns, the Imba mobile app is there for you. That has hymns in English, Oshiwambo, Herero, Damara Nama, Afrikaans, German, Portuguese. If the hymn exists, there's a very high chance that it is in the Imba mobile application. And don't forget to subscribe to the premium features of the Imba mobile app if you want to have access to features such as vacancy adverts, tender adverts. If you want to hear the melodies of the hymns that you're singing, if you want to have all your favorite hymns in one section, and various other features available for you in the premium version of the Imba mobile application, as well as the digital displays that are there for you to interact with, that is on the Imba mobile application, as well as the Eagle FM mobile application. Some great digital displays for you to interact with. These put you in touch with all kinds of information, whether that's your constitutions, whether that's latest labor statistics, various economic reports by the World Bank, vacancies, all kinds of things that make you a more informed citizen of the world, brought to you courtesy of Eagle Media House. Now, on the other side of this, we'll get into some local sports news. Quite a few things happened this weekend, and we will discuss them briefly before we get into our topic of today, which is the role that apparel plays in the commercialization of sports. We will be back right after this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. If you are just now joining us, we are going to get into some local sports news. And we will start with some rugby news with the national rugby side, who played the Africa Cup final over in Uganda against Zimbabwe, which was an opportunity for our national side to qualify, to earn automatic qualification for the upcoming Rugby World Cup in 2027, being hosted in Australia. And unfortunately, Namibia lost 30-28 in quite a tight encounter. It was 16-16 at halftime, but we did end up losing 30-28 to Zimbabwe in the final of the Rugby Africa Cup. It is actually the first time that Zimbabwe is qualifying for the World Cup in 34 years. So congratulations to our SADC, or Region 5 actually, brothers. And that is Zimbabwe qualifying for their first World Cup in 34 years. Don't forget, if you'd like to join the conversation in the studio, you can call in at any time. That's at 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. Now, Namibia can still qualify. Namibia can still qualify for the 2027 Rugby World Cup, via the Asia Africa playoff. So Namibia will have to face the UAE on the 26th of July. So in about around the end of the week, that is on a that Saturday, this coming Saturday, they'll face the UAE in a must-win qualification playoff. And so the winner of that tie, right, will advance to the final qualification tournament in Dubai, which is happening in November this year, between the 8th and the 18th to be exact. And whoever loses that tie will be eliminated from World Cup contention altogether. So, high pressure that the rugby side is now under would have been very simple and comforting to have qualified now through the Africa Cup, Rugby Africa Cup, which we've won several times. We've won it the most times, which is why we've been to so many consecutive World Cups. But now the challenge lies ahead. Hopefully the national side will be able to pull through, starting with victory against the UAE on Saturday. The director of rugby, that is none other than Namibian rugby icon Jacques Burger, released a statement. Where he said, the following. He started off with congratulating Zimbabwe. Congratulations to Zimbabwe, who qualified for the Rugby World Cup. All the years of heartache, disappointment and hard work has earned you the opportunity to compete at the Rugby World Cup in 2027. We Namibians will feel the hurt today, reflect and start preparing for the UAE on Saturday to earn a spot in the playoff. And then he thanked all the Namibians by saying thank you to all the Namibian supporters who have stuck with us through the bad and the good times. I believe everything happens for a reason, and we will go at this with all we have. We have one more shot. There is hope. Hashtag proudly Namibian. So that was essentially the leader of the national rugby side, Jacques Burger, giving not only the fans but the players some words of encouragement as he elaborated. We have one more opportunity to get into that World Cup final. Moving on to some local rugby. There was a newly created local rugby competition, which was the JSB Club Championship, which FNB Wanderers ended up winning this weekend. It's a new tournament. And, Wanderers walked away with $25,000 in prize money, and the runner-up, which was FNB Grootfontein, they walked away with $15,000. This was a sort of a quick fire tournament. The matches weren't very long at all. There was a lot of matches happening on Saturday. So another opportunity for local players to gain some experience. Moving on to the cricket side of things. The Namibia A, which is a developmental team, filled with primarily young players, or players who don't necessarily start for the national team, but are part of the national team, the senior national team setup. They are participating in the Pearl of Africa T20 series over in Uganda. So another Namibian team over in Uganda, alongside Kenya, the UAE, Nigeria, and of course the host Uganda. Namibia is led by 21-year-old JC Bolt. He is the captain of the Namibia A side. They beat Uganda in their first match, the host. And then JC was the player of the match in that fixture. Then they also beat Nigeria in their second match yesterday, where Dylan Leiche was the player of the match. Leach. Apologize for Dylan's surname there. But let's briefly hear from the captain. This was, he was speaking to the media prior to the start of the tournament. This is what young Dylan had to say.
Are you here in interview at the Oval?
Hello, my name is JC Bolt. I'm captain of Cricket Namibia A. It's very humid conditions. We are not really used to dry conditions, but we've also been here before in countries that like this. So conditions are not new, and I think we've adapted quickly to it in our first training day.
What are you trying to achieve in this tournament? What has Craig Williams, who has coached Uganda, told you about the conditions here and what to expect and what not to expect?
So we know it's going to be hard, and of course we want to win, but we are also a young team and we'd like to learn as much as possible from this opportunity given. But yeah, at the end of the day we want to win.
Yes, you want to win at the end of the day. Is there talk that if you guys do well, you could some of you guys could go on and play for the Eagles in the World Cup qualifier?
So some of us already in the team, we would like to solidify that, and for the youngsters, I think definitely that's a big opportunity for them to get into the squad.
And finally, what should the crowd here in that comes round and supports cricket here in Uganda expect from you guys? Tell us about the big boys in the squad, and please pump up the volume for the tournament.
No, of course, I think we're going to play hard and good cricket, and can't wait for competition.
Thank you.
Yes, that was Namibia's captain, JC Bolt, speaking to the media prior to the beginning of the Pearl of Africa T20 series happening over in Uganda. Namibia's next match will be against Kenya. That'll be on Tuesday. And on the local cricket front, the Nedbank Desert Ice League finals are taking place right now. Let me just consult with my sources. The winner might have been crowned by now, actually. Okay, the winner. Yes, the winner of the Nedbank Desert Ice League, which consisted of 12 teams, that includes the UNAM Zebra Legends, the Hobabis Bulls, the CCD Tigers, Cricket Generation Academy, Okahanja Cricket Club, the Windhoek Afrikaans High School, UNAM Zebra Strikers, and the Run Whispers Academy. The Cricket Generations Academy. They won the challenge after beating the Hobabis Bulls by 33 runs to become the 2025 champions. Player of the match was William Lottering. Impact player went to Willie Swart. So congratulations to the Cricket Generation Academy. We also had volleyball take place this weekend. Rounds 4 and 5. Rounds 4 being on Saturday. Rounds 5 being today of the MTC Volleyball National League. That is both men's and women's, took place over the weekend. That was over in the capital with okay, results aren't quite available yet, but coming in to this weekend's fixtures on the men's side, NCS was leading the log with 6 matches played and 6 wins. As well as on the women's side, RVC. They were leading on the women's side. Some more local sports that we had was netball. That was rounds 5 and 6 of the MTC Netball Namibia Premier League taking place, where you had coming into the weekend, UNAM Erongo Netball Club were leading the table with 10 points. The Namibia Navy was second with 8 points. And the Otsozon Jupa Nampol Netball Club third, also on 8 points. Some of the round 5 results, which was on Saturday, you had Wanderers beating Tigers 43-39. You had the UNAM Jaguars beating the Africa Lions 37-35. Wanderers again against NCS, that is the Namibia Correctional Service. NCS taking that one 41-27. UNAM Erongo taking on Extreme Eagles, winning that one 30-27. And then Cougar Tops playing against Eastern Chiefs. Eastern Chiefs winning that one at 29-26. And the Otsozon Jupa Nampol Netball Club beating the Mighty Gunners Netball Club 49-34. Round 6 would have been taking place, or is taking place today. Final results not through yet, but once they do come through, of course, we will keep you up to date in terms of what is happening there. NCS, by the way, being the defending champions of the league. They played against the UNAM Jaguars today, actually. Here's one result that we have, is, and they beat them quite, convincingly, 47-29, beating the Jaguars. And, we actually have one last piece of, local sporting news. And that involves one of our junior athletes. That is Namibia's Marika Weitz, who is over in Nigeria competing on behalf of Namibia at the Confederation of African Athletics. That's the CAA African Championships, meant for under 18 and under 20 athletes. She picked up a gold in the under 18 girls shot put, as well as a bronze in the under 18 discus. So, Namibia continuing the theme of collecting medals following the Region 5 Youth Games, where we collected 90 medals. This one now over in Nigeria. So, our young athletes continue to do well in international competition. On the other side of this, we'll get into our topic of today, which is about the apparel, or the role that apparel plays, excuse me, in the commercialization of sports. Very big topic in economies where sports is a huge contributor. As some of you might have heard the president's address on Friday, where she once again highlighted some of the importance that sports can have when it comes to the economy. or how it can contribute. And this, what we're going to speak about after this, this interlude, has to do with apparel. Very, very big, component of the commercial sports world. We'll look at the international side of things. Obviously, that's the one end of the spectrum when it comes to how far, how valuable this can be. And we'll try to contextualize everything with what is happening in Namibia, but also on the continent as a whole. But we'll be back. On the other side of this musical interlude from our resident uncle, that is none other than Mr. Jimmy Cliff.
Jump, 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 somebody. Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukulile Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka Opone ushendike nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM Onora etatimwe mbali heavy nola natu heavy bali no heavy Ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu O mafelane Eagle FM The Eye
Welcome back to another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. If you're just now tuning in, we just ran through some of the local sports news, some of the local sporting headlines that made or that we came across this weekend. Don't forget you can join the conversation at any time at 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. Today, the topic we have lined up is about the role that apparel plays in the commercialization of sport. And the reason I want to talk about this today was inspired by a news I saw recently of Manchester City signing the biggest kids sponsorship contract in English football history. That was they announced a deal with Puma, which was a 10 year, essentially £1 billion deal. A 10 year billion pound deal. That's about £100 million per year, which works out to Okay, my calculator is failing me, but a lot of Namibian dollars, let's say it like that. £100 million per year. Over 2 billion Namibian dollars per year. 2.3 to be exact. Anyways, that was what motivated me to do some further research on this topic. Further, and just discuss the role that this plays in the commercialization of sport. Obviously, a team as big as Manchester City, they're able to garner such a deal, as we know, for various reasons. One of the biggest teams in the world, one of the most successful teams in recent history in the world. All of that, have some of the best players in the world. So it makes sense, you know, why they're able to command such numbers. And as I said, the biggest kids sponsorship contract in English football history. But it's just the concept of a shirt, sports apparel in general, being this valuable to a company. And I wanted to talk about this because I wanted to put it later on. We'll put it in the Namibian context of what the landscape looks like over here. But, before we do that, we'll run through some other deals that have been signed in the past. Some of the larger deals, just to get a scope of what is possible out there, and then we'll look at some of the local offerings, one could say. And so Manchester City started wearing Puma in 2019. And since they've started wearing Puma, they've won 4 Premier League titles. And as we know, the treble in 2023 there was. So I'm sure part of why Puma was comfortable with paying so much is the success of the team, obviously. You know, to win 4 Premier League titles in essentially 5-6 seasons. To have a season where you're doing a treble as well. That's priceless amounts of exposure for the Puma brand, obviously. And if you think about those seasons, if those of you that do follow football, you know, Haaland was breaking all kinds of records, you know, and every time he scores, he's pictured and filmed, obviously wearing a Manchester City top. And who's the manufacturer of said top is Puma. So it's, you know, each time something great happens for them, it's essentially a Puma advert, along with all the other, logos and brands that are on their shirt. So that's why companies are literally fighting each other to pay these big sums of money to these big sporting organizations. Some other deals that I want to look at just to compare, to give context of where things are in the world when it comes to these deals. You have, in 2015, where Manchester City's rivals, Manchester United, signed with Adidas. That was for £750 million over 10 years. At that time, when that was announced, that was the biggest deal, kit deal in English football history. Then they renewed that deal in 2023, which came into effect this year for another 10 years. They increased the price now. It was at a total of £900 million, right? So almost at that £1 billion mark that Manchester City is at. Chelsea, they signed a deal with Nike in 2017, also for £900 million over 15 years, which works out to at around £60 million per year. Arsenal's deal with Adidas, that's worth £75 million a year until the year 2030. And the biggest deal in football history so far is the one between Barcelona, the Spanish giants, and Nike. They've been together since 1998. And in 2024, last year, they renewed their deal at 120 million euros per year. Now, a lot of these deals, you know, are quite, there's a lot of incentives performance-wise. So let's, for argument's sake, take the Barcelona one of 120. It's possible that in some years, if they don't win, if they perform badly, they don't reach certain targets and so on, they maybe only get, quote-unquote, in inverted commas, only get, let's say, 90 million. But if they win the Champions League, they win the league, they maybe they have a goal threshold they need to hit, then they get the full 120. So in the case of in Manchester United, for example, who have been doing really bad in the last few years, although not that bad since Adidas still agreed to re-sign in 2023, that amount that I gave, the yearly amount, probably won't be fully realized in that situation because the team is doing so bad. And I do remember seeing reports about them, about Adidas not being too happy, let's say like that, with the performance of the team. But I'm sure it balances out with the shirt sales and things like that, which for a team that large will never be an issue, really. The only issue is now what's happening on the field and some of the things we're hearing about that happen off the field, which the manufacturer might not be so happy with. But regardless, they are still sticking with the side and choosing to associate themselves with them. So clearly they're getting some kind of value out of it, and they are happy with said value. The overall point I wanted to drive home with today's conversation is how teams, football now in particular, we're mostly going to stick to football today, since that's the, you know, our favorite sport, most relatable to most of you guys listening, is that how these teams use their apparel as a major, major source of revenue. Other than the stadiums, you know, the stadium naming rights, the apparels are the biggest assets for teams to sell. For example, Barca, they, in addition to, you know, the deals that I just mentioned now with Nike, most recently they had a deal with Spotify, remember, for their front shirts, which was like tied into their stadium one also. They had one with Cactus Jack on like for certain special occasions. But that, space on a shirt that's seen so many times, bought so many times, posted online about so many times, talked about so many times. Some shirts are idolized, you know, by millions and millions of people. That space is worth a lot of money. And that's why, as I said, companies fight for the opportunity to pay these large sums of money to be on there, because they feel that the exposure they get in return is worth whatever it is they're going to pay for that. Sticking with Barcelona again, they recently, not too long ago, just signed a 4-year deal with the DRC, that's Congo, worth $46.5 million for the back of their training and warm-up kit. So this is not even the main Barcelona shirt. It's the training one and the one that they wear during the warm-ups. And for that, they're paying about 12 million, 11.6 to be exact, US dollars for the right to have their logo on there. And when I say DRC, I mean it's like the, for example, Visit Rwanda that we see on the Arsenal shirts, on the Bayern Munich and the PSG ones. We've seen Visit Rwanda. We've seen, it would be something like that. For example, if the Namibian Tourism Board had a deal with, let's say, who would they be with? Let's say for argument's sake, Liverpool. If there was a big NTB on the front of the Liverpool shirts, that's what I mean with the DRC. It's a tourist, promotion. You know, they want to boost their image in the tourism regard. Even though we know about all the other stuff that's happening in the DRC. Then another part of the conversation is how companies use this to sort of mask what's really happening on the ground. You know, the big term that was used for this, especially with some of the World Cups that were recently played in, you know, non-conventional places, is the term of sport washing. Now, it's kind of a controversial term because it's sometimes incorrectly applied to situations where that's not necessarily what is happening. But with Visit Rwanda and the DRC one now in particular, it's quite interesting because those two in particular, those are two nations or two groups from those nations are literally at war with each other or have been for many years now. But they have, you know, the people arguing against these things happening. You know, there's been protests and things about their associations with European teams saying, why are you spending money on this instead of keeping it at home to other various sectors that could make better use of that money is what the people arguing against such ventures are saying and were saying. But nonetheless, these companies choose to enter these agreements, like I said, because of the exposure that they get. I mean, Visit Rwanda, for example, what they've gotten out of that Arsenal deal is, you know, almost priceless. Think of all the great Arsenal moments that we've had over the past, let's say, 18 months or so. All those images, all those videos, to Visit Rwanda right there. It's not only limited to the shirts, you know, they always have them on the press conference banners and all those kind of things. So that is why these companies fight tooth and nail to be associated with these teams. But the one I really wanted to talk about was the manufacturing deals. Cause as I said, this was inspired by the Manchester City deal with Puma. The one I just spoke about now, Visit Rwanda, that's a different asset on the shirt. The asset I want to talk about today is the manufacturer one. You know, your Nikes, your Pumas, your Kappas, your Under Armour, your whatever company you can think of that makes sports apparel. That's the main focus, but it goes in tandem with what we just spoke about now with the other parts of the shirt that teams sell. And most recently, actually, there was a team that went viral, I believe, in Denmark. They just had a ridiculous amount of sponsors on their shirts, like no empty space. They look like a high school kid's notebook or something. With so many, just too many logos. Where when that happens, it honestly defeats the purpose, because if you're one of the 15 brands on a shirt, you don't really stick out, you know? There's too many things to look at to attract the person's eyes. But if you're to look at a company like Nike, if you were to add up all the annual amount that they spend on things like this, you know, or pretty much any major team you can mention, more than likely, they have a Nike deal. And if you were to add them across, if you were to add up what they spend on this in an entire year across all their sports, it will be around the $1 billion mark. So that, just again, I bring that up to show how valuable this asset is. Cause if a company is willing to, you know, fork out, let's say around $1 billion a year, they're clearly getting a good return on that if they're comfortable with paying that. Now, to bring it back to the more local side of things, I want to talk about the Springboks. Arguably, I don't even think this is arguable, really. Commercial wise, Africa's most valuable sports team. Yeah, I don't think it's actually arguable, especially considering the success they've had in recent history in particular, but throughout their time, really. One of the most successful outfits that we have on the continent. And commercially, you're about to see on the commercial side as well. So they, those of you that watch rugby, you would have seen the FNB logo on their shirts. You would have seen Pick and Pay on their shirts. Those two deals alone make 220 million, reported 220 million rand per year for the Springboks. Those of you that remember, maybe, might have been 2 months ago now, when we had the CEO of the Namibia Rugby Union, John Haynes, on here, talking about the disparity in resources between Namibia and a country like New Zealand, for example, when he was like, you have a, I can't remember the exact figure he used, but I think it was around the $30 million mark for now New Zealand in terms of certain funding he was talking about. And I think it was the World Rugby Fund that they get from the World Rugby. But anyways, he was saying that 35, I believe, was the number against 7 for Namibia. And part of that, why there's such discrepancies, is what I read just now. Our neighbors, you know, are able to garner 220 million rand per year just from their shirt. And obviously, they played a part in making that shirt valuable. It's not just because it's a South African shirt. They had to do great things to make that asset so valuable. You know, they've had to develop players. They've had to train players properly. They've had to have a great grassroots systems. All of those things came together to now have this final product that is so incredibly valuable, to have essentially the best rugby team in the world that's won numerous World Cups. No, to be able to win consecutive World Cups between 2019 and 2023. No, a lot of work had to go into that behind the scenes, nationally. A huge concerted effort had to go into that. And they are now reaping the benefits of that. Those of you that may know, the Springbok jersey is also made by Nike, who I've been talking about today quite often. And that is worth a reported around 3 million US, now we're talking about, per year. The exact figure wasn't made public, but it was, they signed a 6-year deal in 2022, worth around, as I said, a reported between 2 and 4 million. Is what they're reporting it as. Before that, if you remember, the Springboks were with Asics. Yeah, they were with Asics for a very long time. Then Nike came in. You know, they wouldn't have come in if they didn't see that value. They came in at a great time, honestly, right after they won the World Cup, then proceeded winning the next World Cup. So more than likely, one can deduce that Nike probably already made their money back. By associating themselves with the best rugby team in the world. Staying in South Africa, you have Kaizer Chiefs. And Orlando Pirates, who get a reported 100 million rand per year from from the sponsorship with Vodacom. It's quite interesting, actually, that one company sponsors two main rivals, the biggest, easily the biggest rivalry in the country. Same sponsor. You know, you don't see that too often. You don't see, Manchester United and Manchester City both having the same kit sponsor. Or Barcelona, Real Madrid. You know, so a bonus for Vodacom to be able to do that. And as I said, to be able to shell out 100 million rand per year on that real estate is quite remarkable. And Kaiser Chiefs, their jersey is made by Kappa now. Couldn't find the exact details on what that deal is worth, but they were with Nike for a long time also, I remember. Land of Pirates is with Adidas. Couldn't find the exact details on that, but they've been in a partnership for a long time as well. So these are valuable partnerships for both sides, for the team and for the manufacturer. Staying on the continent, want to go up to Egypt, where the mighty Al Ahly, that some of you might know of, they're, you know, one of the continent's more successful teams, more storied teams, just an overall powerhouse when it comes to not just football, sport in general. You know, they have basketball, they have they dabble in a few sports. There's an overall sports club, really, which is something that's pretty common for the North African sides. You'll have a team like Al Ahly. Let's say, for example, you had trying to think of a local team. No, the likes of Mighty Gunners, they do this actually. They have a football team, they have a netball team. Okay, I think in Namibia it's usually a team only has football and netball. But my point is, Al Ahly, storied brand in various sports, but football being the most popular. They signed in 2022, signed a 40.8 million 4-year deal, sponsorship deal, US dollars we're talking about. Sponsorship deal with Etisalat. I remember seeing adverts for Etisalat a lot on TV. And then they also signed a deal in 2018 with Presentation Sports worth 29 million over 4 years. They signed another deal in 2015 with 30 million over 3 years with Aseli Sport. But on the other side of this, we'll get into those details.
Unlock your future with Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. 2025 intake for June, July is open for certificate and diploma in information technology, software engineering, human resources management, business administration, and various short courses such as AutoCAD, computer literacy skills, A+ and PC technician, etc. Goldstone Software Engineering Institute's courses are fully accredited by NQA and courses are very affordable. Goldstone Software Engineering, equipped with modern facilities and courses, are offered by qualified professionals. Funding is available from NSFAF and local banks. For entry requirements and to apply, go to our website www.goldstone.com.na or email admission@goldstone.com.na. For more information, call Aneria at 081 65 76365 or Aaron at 081-6354-851 or 061-234186.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Before the commercial break, we were talking about some of the deals that the North African giant Al Ahly has been able to garner. We were at the $30 million deal that they signed over 3 years, so 10 a year, with Sela Sport. That was back in 2015. Back in 2011, they signed a $22.5 million 3 year deal with Etisalat again. So Etisalat's been a loyal partner of theirs. But I was looking for, like I said, I wanted to focus on the manufacturing side. They have a pretty long relationship with Adidas. And they recently re-signed until the year 2030 with a few outlets said it's a total of $8 million. US, they were talking about now. So a little over $1 million per year between now and 2030. But not 100% sure on that figure. Couldn't substantiate it too much, even though I did see it in a few outlets, but some also said 8 per year. So I was a bit shaky, but it's safe to say that it's worth millions of American dollars per year. Then I wanted to, I was actually trying to find as many African manufacturer deals or kit supplier deals as possible. I wanted my whole list actually to just be African teams, but I ran into this problem that seems to be, initially I thought it was just a Namibian thing, but it seems on the continent as a whole, some of these things don't really get reported. You know, I was lucky enough to find the Kaiser Chiefs and Pirates deals, the Vodacom one. But other than that, really, and the Springbok one I mentioned, and Al Ahly, of course. But other than that, really, it was difficult to find some of these figures on the continental side of things. And in Namibia in particular, we don't hear about these at all, like not in the slightest. I don't know if it's because, you know, the parties involved are maybe shy or maybe even embarrassed to say the number, you know, out of fear of people saying, oh, that's all you're going to sponsor. Maybe the number is too low, which is probably the same reason, or which I know is the same reason we don't hear a lot about the salaries that our athletes get because of how low they are. But I feel that information like that, especially on the sponsorship side of things, you know, when it comes to sponsorships, we'll hear about you know, for example, your Deb Marine, how much they're giving football per year. But that's because it's a relatively big number, you know, 18 million Namibian per year is a fairly big number. You know, they're proud to say that as a single company, to say, oh, we're giving 18 million per year. But what I think should be common practice, especially if we're moving into this era of, you know, sports as an economy, commercializing sports, all of that, then these numbers need to be made public so we can talk about them. And so we can gauge value. Because now you have a situation where certain leagues or certain federations, they have these assets. They've managed to successfully sell these assets, excuse me. Now I'm talking about, your cricket Namibia. You know, if you look at their national teams, the logos that are on those shirts, even in the junior sides, I'm talking about your rugby. Look at the logos that are on those shirts, on those shorts also. Is there any other sport? Let's stay with those two for now. But as the public, we don't know. We have no idea how much these partnerships are worth. And not just as a member of the public, but as a sports researcher, sports analyzer, sports enthusiast, just in general, just as a general citizen, I feel that we should be able to have an idea of how valuable some of these things are, especially. Because it will allow you to do comparisons. Now, if I go to the football side of things, for example, let's talk about the Maris Cup, right? That was it was reported to be a 4 million Namibian dollar, a sponsorship from Maris for this tournament, for this 1 year now. One would assume it's going to be a yearly thing, but it was the Maris Cup. Maris as the sole sponsor gave 4 million with 1.5 of that being prize money. Yes. Now in this tournament, all the teams had the Maris logo on their shirts. All the signage in the stadium was Maris, understandably so, it's their tournament. But on the commercial side of things, I feel that the company's kind of, want to say get over on the teams a little bit. I think they get more than what they pay for. That's just my perspective of this. So they get way more than what they pay for. I'm also thinking about the football league. All the teams have Deb Marine on their shirts, except for a select few that have been able to, you know, get their own sponsorships. I'm thinking of now Julinho that has JSB. I'm thinking of Chula Chula that has PSC Bet. I'm thinking of, I believe those are the only sides. Comas Nampol also has PSC Bet. But within that, we don't know how much those, those partnerships are worth. That information is hardly ever made public. And with this whole with this whole conversation on having the league's commercial side of things be independent, what are going to be the rules now in terms of who can put their logo on what? Because if the argument is to be made that the league should be independently ran on the commercial side of things, and this argument is being made primarily by the league sponsor, does that also mean now that each team that has the league sponsor's logo, Eagle FM, good evening. Eagle FM, hello?
Yes, hello?
Yes, how are you doing this evening?
Well, cool. How is your evening?
I'm good, thank you. What would you like to contribute to the show today?
May you please check for me the Liverpool transfer news.
Liverpool transfer news?
Yeah, those that are signed by Liverpool and those that have been released from Liverpool.
You mean in the whole window in general?
The window for this summer.
Yeah, so I know that they signed the guy from Bayer Leverkusen, Florian Wirtz.
Yeah.
They signed Kerkez, the left back.
From
Bournemouth.
Bournemouth, yeah.
Yeah. They signed Jeremy Frimpong, also from Leverkusen, the right back.
Yeah.
Yeah, then they signed a reserve goalkeeper also. His name is Pesci. Mm-hmm. And yeah, those are the only the people they brought in. I know they're also looking at Isak, that Newcastle striker.
Yeah, what about Arnold went to Liverpool, to Madrid, or is he on Liverpool?
Trent?
Trent.
Yeah, no, he left.
He left to Madrid.
Yeah, he went to Madrid.
You have the detail of his number in Madrid?
It was basically, essentially it was a free transfer. They only paid you guys like a 10 million fee so he could compete in the Club World Cup. But it was basically a free transfer because his contract was almost finished.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then you also sold Konsa, that center back.
Oh, he played for Madrid at the Club World Cup.
Who, Trent? Yeah, he did. Yeah.
What number does he wear?
He wears, hold on 1 second. He wears number 12.
Oh, the one for Marcelo.
Yeah, he took over from Marcelo. Yeah. Where are you calling us from?
Calling from Montevideo.
Oh, dear. You're a Liverpool supporter?
Yeah, I'm a Liverpool fan.
We'll see if you guys can lift the title again this year.
Yeah, that's for sure that you will be getting a title.
We'll see.
Okay, good night, boss.
Thank you for calling.
All right.
Yes, there was a Liverpool supporter there on the line. Where was I before you called? Yes, I was talking about the conversation of having the commercial side of our top flight football league be independently managed. Now, that brings up the questions, like I said. Does that mean each... Because clearly now there's nothing on paper that prevents the league sponsor from them putting their logo on all the shirts. But the teams that were able to get their own sponsors, they have their own sponsors on their shirts. So it's kind of a gray area. Now something about PSG bet. The value of the deal they signed, for example, with Chula Chula back in 2023, that was reported to be 1.8 million over 3 years. So we are now entering the final year of that deal, right? Where it's reported that the club will be will see the club access 360,000 to purchase sports gear, and 1.4 million will be given to the club in cash. So basically gave them $2 million over 3 years. That's how much per year? That's $600,000 per year for the value of that asset of the Chula Chula shirt. So, and Chula Chula, one of the more popular teams in our league. So that information like that kind of sets the value. You know, how many, realistically speaking, like being unbiased, how many teams are more popular than Chula Chula in our league? I would say African Stars. You know, they're kind of neck and neck. I know they don't have a sponsor. But if they were to get one, one would think the number would be slightly higher than 600 a year, 600,000 a year. So, you know, knowing the numbers like that, it gives us an idea of how valuable these things are. So right now, as we know, that space in the De Marine Namibia Premier League is worth at least, or let's say plus minus 600,000. For some teams, obviously, it will be a bit less, you know, for your, you know, no disrespect to the other teams, but there's teams where it wouldn't make sense for it to be 600,000 a year. But there's other teams where they could garner more than 600,000 a year. Maybe, you know, African Stars can convince someone for $1 million a year, for example. But then, I would like to know then, if the Brave Warriors, who, speaking on the correction, but if I'm not mistaken, at the moment don't have any logo down there, how much would that one be worth? The Namibian rugby side. They have Oh, actually, they don't have anyone on their shirts, now that I'm looking at them. But they do have on their shorts, but on their shirts, nothing. But their shirts are made by their shirts are made by, I'm just trying to get the correct name. Okay, we'll get that in just a moment. But whatever company it is that it is making their shirts, how much are they paying for that? The Brave Warriors one as well. All the teams in the De Marine Namibia Premier League, are the teams paying to get their shirts made, or is that manufacturer paying for the right to have their shirts made by said company? I remember when the whole Brave Warriors World Cup campaign thing was announced. The deputy minister said that he wants a Namibian company to be the ones producing the Brave Warriors outfits, because at the moment it's that 90 plus company that seems to be making majority of football apparel in the country, but it's not a Namibian company. I know that. It's a Dubai, it's a UAE based company, or headquartered there at least, and they have branches all over the continent. But again, are they paying, or are our teams paying? No? I'm more inclined to believe it's that our teams are the ones paying. Another piece of info that we don't get to hear about, which is another huge source of revenue when it comes to the commercialization of sport. You know, I said the number one, it's okay, 1A, 1B between stadium naming rights and broadcast deals. But broadcast deals is more of a league-wide thing, where stadium naming rights are for teams, right? So, broadcast. We just had the Region 5 Youth Games. Remember, we had the CEO of the AUSC Region 5 on here, Mr. Stanley Mutoya, talking about, and he mentioned this throughout the build-up of the games, about broadcast rights. And I remember specifically asking in various engagements about, you know, is that a source of revenue for the region? He said yes, and it will be for these games also. And obviously, if you were following the games, you would have seen there were two local media outlets that had the rights to these games. But the information that we don't know is, you know, conventionally, if it was done this way, how it should be done, is ordinarily, is that Region 5 would be selling the broadcast rights, right? They'll make it available. They'll make it publicly known that they're selling the broadcast rights for the upcoming Region 5 Youth Games. And then all the media houses in the country would have an opportunity to bid, and essentially the highest bidder wins. That's normally how it works in the rest of the world. But how it works here, this might be almost speaking against my own interest, but how it works here is all media companies get paid to broadcast things. So we do it the backwards way, right? So, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm 98% sure, and the only reason I don't know this for a fact is because I couldn't get anyone to answer this for me or for us. Is that the broadcasters, if you were watching the games, they more than likely got money to broadcast the games, right? And okay, from their perspective, source of revenue, right? And then obviously they were able to, I actually don't know what the advert situation was. I didn't see too many ads when I was watching some of the games on, whether it was on my phone or on my laptop or whatever. So I don't know, maybe there was rules against that. That I'm not too sure. I can't speak on because, you know, wasn't involved in those deals. But my point is, we don't hear how much it is that they got to do that, to broadcast the games. And I think it would make our conversations easier. It would help us better understand the value of sport in the country if said figures were made available to the public. That's my whole point with this. That's the reason why I bring this up about the information not being public. Only a handful of people know what the sport is worth in the country, and it shouldn't be that way. It should be public information. And it also helps the next person, you know, if someone wants to create a tournament or anything like that, they will be able to gauge the value of their product. So now, unless you have inside information, you're really just making up numbers. You could be shorting yourself, or you could be aiming, you know, way too high, where a company will say, there's no way we're going to pay that. We pay X for this other thing. Why would we pay, you know, double, triple, or however much for yours? But as I say, you are always worth what someone is willing to pay you. So it could work either way. So on the other side of this, we'll get into some of the history in terms of some of these sponsorship deals, how far back they go, how long have people been doing this. And then we'll wrap up our conversation for today. Don't forget, you can join the conversation at any time at 0832888401. That's 0832888401. Don't forget, tomorrow is Monday, meaning the Villager e-paper will be published. If you haven't already, subscribe by setting your number to 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the number as a contact so that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, the Villager can be sent directly to your mobile device. And of course, if you'd like to receive it via email, include your email as well. We will be back right after this.
Put your hands together. Clap along with the music.
Uh-huh.
The song is not a very hard one, you see. But I'd like everybody to listen to what I'm saying to you. You're the reason I wanna live, girl. I swear you're the reason I wanna give. The God must have put here for me. And tell me who's on you. Oh man, just me, Lord. You're more than just my woman. Your purpose in my life, in my life. For you, I do anything. I'd make any sacrifice.
That's why I'm there. Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Ipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nuneuto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamoiri nawa. Ninge fata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatuimwe bari heari, nola natu, heari bari no heari. Ineko, berewa, nora etatu natu, bari o etatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Impa has to offer at an unbeatable price. Impa, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. The time is now 35 minutes past the hour of 7. I'll be with you until 8 p.m. And if you're just now joining us today, we are talking about the role that apparel plays in the sports commercialization conversation. And before the commercial break, we were talking about some of the things that we see happening locally, some of the deals that have been signed when it comes to apparel. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk about I want to go back in time a little bit, I should say. And talk about some of the, some of the originators, some of the first deals that came about, not just in this, in the apparel context, which was pretty difficult to find, honestly, but in the sports partnership sector in general, just to give us an idea of how long, you know, sport has been used as a branding tool, as a marketing tool, as a visibility tool, as a exposure, as a tool of exposure, as a revenue source. Just give us some context. Okay. So we'll start in the year 1870. The year none of us can remember ever happening, because none of us were there. In the year 1870, right, tobacco cards were the first. Tobacco cards were the first promotion of a product not related to the sports industry through the use of sports, right? So that was the first time in 1870. That was the first time something outside of sport was using sport to promote said product. And this is also a sign of the times. Like I say, usually I start the show with our quote of the show, which is that sport is a reflection of society. This partnership I'm speaking about now is definitely a reflection of that time. You know, using sport to promote tobacco. There was a long time in human history where athletes were being used to promote cigarettes, where smoking was actually seen as a fairly healthy thing. You know, it wasn't uncommon for your favorite top tier athletes to be seen smoking in the locker room, things like that. But like I said, sign of the times. So that's when, you know, majority of society was, where smoking was normal, smoking cigarettes was normal. And it was reflected in the fact that they were using athletes to promote said brands. You will never see that happen today. There's just not a chance because of what we know about smoking. You still see them promote alcohol though, but not cigarettes. So over 150 years ago, this, sport as a vehicle to promote products was a thing. In the year 1928 is when Coca-Cola first partnered, with the Olympics. So also almost 100 years ago is when that started. And if I'm not mistaken, this partnership is still ongoing today. I do remember seeing it at the London Olympics, but the two after that, I would have to double check. But 100-year relationship, essentially. And then the first time, stadium naming rights happened was in 1954. This was when, Sportsman's Park over in the US had its naming rights sold to the, you know, the mega brewing company, which is Anheuser-Busch. It became known as Busch Park in 1954. The first in the world of sports and advertising. This fun fact also was the year that, the magazine, the world famous magazine Sports Illustrated was also created in that year. And 10 years later in 1964 is when the company we now know as Nike was created. So this just a bit of a backstory. Into, this whole relationship between sports and product advertising, right? But if you look at a company such as Adidas, excuse me. 1954 is also the year when they really came onto the scene, because they partnered with a German national team at the time, called West Germany at the time, with boots for the 1954 World Cup. And this was when screw-in studs for boots. That's, you know, a normal thing now, but Adidas debuted or presented this idea to the world during that specific World Cup. And Germany actually won that World Cup, which was a surprise at the time. And a lot of people say it was because of these boots that Adidas provided them. And as we know, this partnership is still going on today. There's no such thing as a Germany kit that doesn't have the Adidas logo. You know, they've become synonymous. They've become one. You cannot see a Germany shirt made by a company that's not Adidas. And it is reported that this relationship is worth, it's estimated at $54 million. And actually, as I was just saying, it's impossible to see a different company other than Adidas. According to this report that I'm reading right now, Nike will take over in 2027 in a deal worth 100 million euros per year. So, you know, maybe Adidas just got priced out. That can happen also. But like I said, you know, especially since Adidas is a German company, it made sense that for so long, they were the German sponsor. And truthfully, through the glory years, it was Adidas. So who knows what the German national team can achieve, but in the future, in the next few years, but from what we've seen so far, the greatness that you know of Germany, it happened with the one and only Adidas. We'll be back right after this.
Get all your essential products for just 99 Namibian dollars at USAID. 1 kilogram each of Rice King rice, Top Score or Bokomo Super Maize Meal, Sugar King white or brown sugar, 500 grams Pasta Polana or Pasta King, and 750 milliliters Right Brand sunflower seed oil. All 5 products for only 99 Namibian dollars. You save. I save. Yes, we all save at USAID.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian,
passionately feeding the nation. Namib Mills, feeding the nation.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager. Wherever you are.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone, and we are wrapping up the conversation today, which is about the role that apparel plays in the commercialization of sport. As I referenced to earlier, our conversation with the Region 5, AUSC Region 5 CEO Stanley Mutoya, when he said they're establishing a factory actually to produce apparel or manufacture apparel in the region. And during the conversation, I should have followed up in terms of getting more details on this, but clearly he and the region have know about the value that apparel can generate. I've been speaking about this for the past 2 hours. So much so that they want to produce their own. So I'm very eager to see how that will play out, where this will be made available, who it will be made for. Now I would assume it is for the youth, or really for anyone to purchase. But the type of apparel that will come out from this is what I'm intrigued in. And when he says we're going to manufacture apparel, does it mean there will be a clothing brand by the name Region 5, you know, such details is what I should have asked about during the interview. Because when they were here, I noticed certain teams obviously wearing, apparel made by different brands, in line with, you know, whatever their sports commissions, their ministries of sports, their federations, or so on, were able to get through their various normal partnerships. But maybe at the next Region 5 games, or the ones after the next, when perhaps the factory will be established, that all the apparel will be made by this Region 5 brand. Could imagine that. So yes, apparel, very important in the ecosystem, in the cycle, in the economic viability of sport. We've seen what it looks like on the high end, on both sides of the spectrum. We've seen what it looks like on the high end and on the lower end, and in the ones in between. Now, I think as a country, if Namibia is able to find themselves in between, obviously it won't be on the extreme end that we're talking about, you know, £100 million per year. We have to be realistic. It's not going to be that, but if we can find ourselves in the, you know, $1 million a year, $2 million a year. Like I said, who knows what the cricket ones are worth, what the rugby ones are worth. We know what one of the football ones is worth in our league. We don't know, Brave Warriors, we know, doesn't have one at the moment. Maybe it's part of what the committee, the World Cup qualifying committee, is going to sort out, is that. We just saw our rugby team doesn't have one either on the shirts. So, time will tell. What our more valuable assets when it comes to apparel are going to be worth in the next, let's say 3 years, 2-3 years. As we said, things aren't going to change overnight, but something like this, in the next 2-3 years, we should see some progress, should see some development, and we'll see. We'll see what our teams can garner. And also what I'm looking forward to see in the next 2-3 years is just the availability of team apparel from various sports in the country, you know, and there's a select few teams that, you know, make it known that they have apparel available. Now I'm speaking now of your African Stars, I'm speaking of your Chula Chula, I'm speaking of your Julinho. If I'm not mistaken, I'm speaking about your FNB Kudus on the rugby side of things. Speaking about your Wanderers. But other than that, really, these things aren't widely available. Like, as a local sports enthusiast, I should be able to walk into a shop and say, I want to buy a Cougar Tops shirt today. I should be able to walk into a shop and say, I want to buy a UNAM shirt. Not just a football shirt. I want to buy a UNAM Jaguar shirt. I want to buy, on the netball now speaking about. I want to buy, what other sports are they? I want to buy, you know, a cricket club shirt. These things should be widely available. Widely, available. But at the moment, it's very few and far in between. Should be able to buy a Brave Warriors shirt, like at any shop, or a shop that sells sports apparel, I should say, rather. Should be able to buy a rugby shirt easily. Should be able to buy a national cricket shirt easily. No? No, there's talks from the Sports Commission about, you know, that this whole... Actually, what happened with the supporters jersey? You guys remember last year? They're talking about, we're releasing a national supporters jersey. The other day I saw the deputy minister post sketches of a tracksuit for the supporters. Basically, the tracksuit version of the supporters jersey. Where's the shirt? I don't know where. If it's available, and if it is available, where can I buy it and how much it costs? That information is not publicly known, at least not here on the Eagle Sports Zone. So yeah, maybe before we do that, let's have our team jerseys available. But yes. That is the conversation we have for today. Don't forget to subscribe to The Villager coming out tomorrow morning by sending a WhatsApp message and saving the following number as a contact. Very important that you save the number as a contact. That's 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. If you'd like to be receiving The Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, don't forget to follow all our social media pages. That's Eagle FM Namibia. That's The Villager newspaper. Visit our website, www.eaglefm.com.na. And that's www.thevillagernam.com.na. Thevillager.com.na, excuse me. www.thevillager.com.na, www.eaglefm.com.na. Download the mobile applications, free to download on the Google Play Store, on the Apple App Store, Eagle FM Namibia. Type that in. You'll be able to get it for free. Type in IMBA, I-M-B-A, to get access to your favorite hymn books for free in the palm of your hand. Like I said, follow us on social media. That's Facebook, that's LinkedIn, that's Instagram, that's X, that's WhatsApp. Wherever you are, we are there. That's TikTok, that's YouTube. Wherever you are, we are there at Eagle Media House. And this has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. I will see you guys same time, same place next week. Live from 6 o'clock on the Eagle Sports Zone. Next week, if all goes to plan, we will have an international guest on the show. So look out for the show. And if you've missed any broadcasts of the Eagle Sports Zone, whether that's from last week, last month, last year, like I said, go to the podcast section of the Eagle FM website or the Eagle FM mobile application. This has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. We will see you next week.
Get ready to embrace a world of possibilities at the University of Namibia with a community of ambitious students, researchers, and innovators. Shape your future with a wide range of programs in agriculture, engineering, natural sciences, commerce and management, law, education, human sciences, health sciences, or veterinary medicine. Apply online at unam.edu.na. UNAM, open your mind.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Great news! IMBA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Holy Mount Zion, holy Mount Zion.
in Mount Zion. In Rome.